"No story is worth dying for" is a saying that most journalists are usually reminded of while in the line of duty. But again, the right to inform the public of what is happening is what has made journalism the most powerful tool of putting governments into account. The threat to female journalists is real, especially reporters who cover investigative pieces, terrorism, sensitive court proceedings, crime, and politics. Tears of agony run down her cheeks when she recalls how she could have lost her life for bringing to the public a story about drug trafficking in Lamu County. Working as a correspondent for a local radio station in Lamu, Mwanaharusi Rashid's dream was to specialize on investigative journalism. As a young journalist, the excitement to uncover, hunt, and expose the men behind the ill in society was abundant. Little did she know she would become the hunted for airing a court story about drug traffickers in Lamu.
Several of them surrounded me and were asking for my phone. Actually, they were pulling my phone. So several of them were surrounding me, shouting and telling me to give them my phone. Some were pulling away the phone from my hands. Even the phone cracked, the screen cracked because of the pull and push that they were doing. I had to give them my phone and they took it, asked me to put my password. I put my password and they deleted all the photos that I had taken that day.
Who to run to for her safety was a riddle.
Here in Kenya, there is no a safe house where a female journalist can be housed after doing investigative stories, especially stories that touch on security. So without my family standing with me during that time, maybe by now I could have been dead. Because at that time, the media house I work for, not an organization, not media council, came to my aid. I suffered on my own. As journalist and as female journalist or journalist at large, we act as watchdogs and activists, apart from informing the public about several issues. When it comes to journalists facing challenges, we don't get any aid or any help from organizations or media houses. We are left to suffer alone.
Lamu County and the coast of Kenya has a history of attacks by Al-Shabaab, a terrorist group which has been behind numerous attacks in the region.
As everyone knows, Lamu County has been having issues with insecurity, where Al-Shabaab has been terrorizing the place. So working as a reporter in Lamu was risky. Every time you go out or you go to the field, you go, but you fear of your life. You fear for your life. So after the incident where the drug dealer was looking for me, I decided, or I lived in fear of doing any kind of story that touched on drugs, any kind of story that touched on insecurity, because it's the stories that you do that you end up being looked for or hunted by people.
It's true that journalism is a thankless job because even her editor could not care about her safety.
I reported the matter to the Media Council of Kenya, which fights for the rights of journalists. Media Council made a report, but I didn't see anything that helped. I was told that I was going to get a new phone. I didn't get a new phone. I had to go back to my pocket and buy another phone. There is a need for media owners and the government at large to put measures that make sure female journalists are safe, their rights are protected. Because as female journalists, we suffer a lot and we undergo so many risks as we do our jobs.
No story worthy your life was her rhythm, until the day when her family decided to take her back home in Kwale County.
I couldn't go out and do my work. I stayed at home. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't go to the field to cover any story because I still lived in fear. I depended on my colleagues to give me audio clips or video clips for me to listen and do my story so that I can send to my editor. So it reached a point that I realized it's not a normal life for someone to be waiting to be fed with information so that I can work.
Journalists are targeted for many reasons and by many people. Women journalists and media personnel have been increasingly exposed to violence, with the number of women journalists killed globally rising steadily since 2010. Salma Hemed, the Deputy Executive Director of Haki Africa, a human rights group against violent extremism and a gender rights activist, confirms over 37 cases of violence against female journalists in 2021 in Coast Region of Kenya.
After receiving several complaints of sexual harassment by women who are working in different fraternities. Of recent, the most cases that we've been receiving are cases of women journalists in line of their duties being harassed because of some little favors that maybe they ask for or maybe when they are supposed to execute their duties. For example, there are those that say that any time that they are required to go and cover a story, they're not allowed to do so by their, let me say, quote-unquote supervisors, which are male. And in case they want them to be given those opportunities, they will be asked to give them something in return. And this something that you're talking about is their sexual desire to be satisfied. We've also received cases whereby within the departments in the media, there are those that are really oppressed.
Ms. Hemed urges that the Kenyan government has failed to protect rights of journalists, terming it unconstitutional, noting that the organization, in partnership with the Media Council of Kenya and other organizations, are putting measures to ensure that journalists work under a safe environment.
We want to let people know that gender rights, it's also a human right. Anyone is obligated and also protected by the Constitution. Our Constitution says everyone has a right to express themselves, to accept and deny anything that will not infringe their rights. So this has been a major challenge, and we can say that as of now, Haki Africa has also tried to reach out to the media councils to see how best we can, you know, address these issues. The harassments are from the upper level. So now this is something that we need to address as an organization to ensure that they're protected and also they can execute their rights, their work, just like any other worker.
The deputy director called upon female journalists to stand firm and amplify their voices against any form of violence.
For those that have come forward to openly report their cases to us, what we've done is to like help them giving them a legal assistance, whether it's advice or litigation. But majority of them fear to be known that they're the ones who have come to report because they feel if they do so, they will lose their jobs. So we've tried also to counsel them, to link them to the professional counselors, and that has also made strides. But we are still needed to do some things more than that.
Article 33, 34, and 35 of Kenyan constitutions talks about freedom of expression and access to information. Why is it that at times we are forced to accompany journalists covering conflict stories? Posed Mr. Kash Jermaine, a peace and security advocate.
Na imekuwa ni changamoto, hususan kwa waandishi wa wanahabari wa kike.
It has been a challenge, especially for female journalists to cover stories in insecurity hotspot zones. Being fully aware that insecurity remains a major hindrance in some parts of Kwale County, this has in turn made it hard for female journalists to do their work. In most cases, they have to be provided with security due to fear of attack by juvenile criminal gangs operating within. Often, a female journalist has to be accompanied by either a local or a police officer for extra protection because anything can happen.
Mr. Kash noted that insecurity in the region has affected journalists' efforts in trying to play their trade.
Kiangalia katika mtazamo wa kina mama, kusema kweli katika kazi tunazofanya,
To be honest, in the work we do to defend justice, most of the cases we deal with are of women. The insecurity situation has largely affected women because it is difficult for a woman to do her normal work if the street she comes from is surrounded by juvenile gangs who attack people with knives and pangas. You find that if a woman leaves early in the morning for work, she must have someone to accompany her because she can't defend herself in case of an attack. Similarly, if a woman returns from work late, it becomes difficult for her to get home. She has to incur extra costs and hire a motorcycle.
He called upon the Kenyan government to come up with amicable measures to curb insecurity and illegal businesses in the country.
I recommend the government to analyze the causes of insecurity, because it is impossible to allocate security to each and every journalist in Kenya. The government should check on what has caused young people to join criminal gangs and find a permanent solution. And you will realize unemployment is one of the problems.
Ms. Mwanakombo Jarumani, a community member, noted the gap between security department and community to be the major source of insecurity. The cooperation between the police and the citizen is still limited. Citizen does not trust the security sector on matters of their safety once they report the suspects. There is a gap. As peace promoters in the society, we have made efforts to bring security department close to the citizen, but still it has not worked. People fear that security officers might reveal them to the society and action taken against them.
On his side, Yusuf Lule, director, Human Rights Agenda Organization, Huria, said there is hope to restore peace and security in Kenya through County Action Plan to End Violence Extremism.
As a country, we have achieved many things. First is the County Action Plan that provides a specific system in approaching and dealing with issues of insecurity. Each area has different challenges, and it is hard to apply one method across the country. Secondly, is that we have also been able to introduce the multi-agency approach, bringing various government security agencies and private institutions to work together.
Coast Regional Commissioner John Elungata confirms violence extremism to be real in the region, calling for peace and security dialogue to end violence extremism.
We have become more precise in the way we go. We read your stuff, and that's what guides us. You know, just like you've mapped out the area, I've looked at that document, it has mapped out the areas where vulnerability exists. That's where we also focus. So it's not like we're going in the dark. What you're doing is very good. It informs what we do. But we want to encourage more dialogue. And you know, extremism is becoming more local. It's no longer about somebody coming to radicalize the youth or to push an extremist agenda. It's being done by ourselves. I've just seen it in Lamu. The people who actually committed these atrocities against their fellow citizens are actually locals. We still export. Actually, most of the people we are arresting going to Somalia and other places, including Mozambique, are our children from here. I want to ask that question. You have good leadership, but who is this person who is not listening to good leadership? Who is not showing that, you know, he needs to learn from the leaders? But we have a lot to do. We know we have fellows we still pursue here in the name of extreme elements. We still have two active cells.
Promoting the safety of journalists and combating impunity for those who attack them are central elements within UNESCO's support for freedom on all media platforms. But the question will always remain to be, are African governments ready to embrace UNESCO's efforts to promote safety and security for journalists? When will journalists in Africa have a safe space for their duties?
Reporting for AWEM News from Coastal Region of Kenya, my name is Caroline Katana.